now.
It's back to Refilwe Mpakanyane.
1702.
Well, for all of you getting ready for that long distance travel, perhaps you're visiting relatives, perhaps you're taking a tour around your province and just giving yourself a break from the humdrum existence that's been your life over this year in 2021. Whatever it might be, we're all looking for various ways or various outlets, right? But if long distance travel is on the cards for you, for whatever reason, let's take a look at things you need to check in your car before you embark on that trip. So resident car guy Warren Tucker is going to say it loud and say it louder for the guys and girls in the back, just to give you a reminder of the, you know, very, very simple but important things that you should not overlook as you embark on your various journeys. And of course, we'll be taking your calls on 011-883-0702. Anything that is bothering you, worrying you with regards to your vehicle maintenance or repairs, let's see if Warren Tucker can solve it all for you. Car-related questions, please do give us a call on 011-883-0702. You can also drop a voice note on 072-702-1702. Let's see if we can help you on that front. That car guy, Warren, good morning.
Good morning, Cecilia. How are you doing?
Ah, exceedingly well, Warren. Very, very little to complain about. I trust the same goes for you.
Definitely. It's the season to be jolly, and people will be on the road, hopefully safely on the road, and we'd like to help them today before you set out on your journey. You have a look at your vehicle, especially having gone through various lockdowns. A lot of vehicles have been parked in the garage, haven't been moved. Mm-hmm. Haven't been driven as much, so let's walk around these cars and have a look.
All right, fantastic stuff. Before we get into that, Warren, really, really quickly, something I absolutely forgot to ask you or just pick your brain on. We know that about a week and a bit ago, Wheels24 is reporting a 1.1 million rand price tag for a used 1986 Toyota Cressida. And that caused a bit of a storm on social media. That car listed there for sale for 1.1 million rand. I'm quite certain they didn't get their selling price, or their asking price rather. But in terms of cars that are on your bucket list, or that one must get vehicle, what's still on your radar? I mean, looking through this article, I know that the 325 IS still, the Kusheshe, is on that list. I was shocked and surprised to see the Sentra also making it onto that list. And I thought to myself, oh, okay, very, very interesting stuff. But what's still on your to-get list or one to attain at some point in your life list?
Well, look, before I go there, I'd just like to say that with all these vehicles and all these prices that people put out there, there's always this conversation of, wow, how can somebody want to pay that money for that vehicle? Here's the thing with classic cars. Most of the time, people are buying these vehicles, yes, for, you know, the aesthetic appeal, the 90s or the 80s feel that these cars come with, but also there's a memory most of the time attached to this vehicle. A grandfather had it or a grandmom had it, and there's a smell associated to the car because the older cars, the leather has a certain smell to it. When you open the door, there's a look that's behind it. So people always want to relive those memories, and sometimes they're prepared to pay astronomical amounts for that. A vehicle is worth as much as someone is prepared to pay for that car at the end of the day.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of the time people would sit back and say, how can you pay a million rand for a Toyota Cressida? Definitely, how can you pay a million rand for a Toyota Cressida? But the person that's buying that car has associated some memory with it, and they'd like to relive that or would like to share that with their grandchildren or great-grandchildren as well. So that's where that sort of thing comes from. Then you've also got vehicles that do appreciate in value. I can think of a couple. I mean, your old SL, your 1970s SL Mercedes-Benz, you know, those older cars, remember, there's a couple of things that drive the price. Number one, they're not making them anymore. Number two, there's an aesthetic appeal to those vehicles. There's a certain, people used to see those cars back then. It was an aspirational thing. The person buying the car right now maybe was very young at the time and wanted one but just couldn't afford it.
Mm.
You know, those marks are there. If you think about the TV show Dallas, Jar Ewing drove an SL on that TV show, and a lot of people at the time, you know, looked at that, and I want to drive one of those cars. You know, if I drive one of those, I've landed type story. So that's also
sure, where lots of sentiment coming into play.
Exactly, exactly. That's where the prices are being driven.
Mm.
As far as myself goes, look, I've had an opportunity because of the business or the work that I do. I've been fortunate enough to drive quite a few vehicles and drive a lot of vehicles that people only dream of. And the thing is, you know, for me, definitely the 80s, 90s vehicles, I like the look, I like the appeal of those vehicles. You know, your old E28 M5, your old E30 333i, I just like that 80s look that those vehicles have.
Yeah.
So definitely I would look at that kind of thing. People are sentimental for vehicles. I mean, the old Toyota Conquest RSI, the chisel nose, people love them. The old box-shaped Toyota Corollas, they love them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it comes back to, number one, what are you prepared to pay to relive a dream? And number two, you know, what's out there? Are these vehicles still around? Because the scarcer the thing becomes, the more the price gets driven up.
Absolutely. I always chuckle when I throw this question. Oh, sorry, I said Sentra, and actually I meant to say the Nissan Skyline. It was a Skyline that seems to be very popular as well. My bucket list car is funny and weird. You know those old minis? Those old minis.
The Mr. Bean
minis. Every time I see one on the road, just like clinging to the tarmac with those tiny laughable wheels, and you think to yourself, my Lord, does this thing even have a seatbelt? Is it safe to drive around in? Still the cutest thing. I would snatch it up in a moment if I could find one in good nick. I think they're absolutely adorable and good memories as well, right? Speaking of sentiment, I had an aftercare teacher who'd sometimes give us a ride to the bus stop. Carol was her name, and she was the sweetest person, and we'd pile into her mini, which seemed so big and spacious at the time, and I wonder what it would be like to climb into one as an adult. At any rate, so we carry on the conversation. Give us a shout in 0727021702. An old car, it could be a real classic. It could just be, you know, some throwaway vehicle that you liked when you were a kid, and it's not worth much, it won't resell for much, but you still would love to get your hands on it. What is that vehicle on 0727021702? So, Warren, let's get to the matter of hand. Those 10 things that driver's checklist that you need to be aware of before you set out on your road trip. Firstly and foremostly, what are we kicking off with?
So I like to always talk about wheels and tires. I do feel that most people neglect their tires. And you know, the tires that you put onto your vehicle are one of the most important items on your car. I mean, that's what keeps you on the road. That's what makes contact with the car. So, you know, you've got to look after your tires. So essentially what I like to do or like to say is, on the tires, there's little wear markers, there's little bumps inside the thread. And once the thread on the outside of those bumps reaches the same level as the bump or the wear indicator, that tire must be changed. It is illegal to drive with that tire once it's gotten to that point, because the tire is now unsafe. Now, a lot of people will always talk about bubbles, but bubbles don't just appear on the outside of the tire wall. Mm-hmm. They appear on the inside as well. So if you're unsure about your tires, pop down to your local tire repair center and let them do a thorough check for you inside and out. The other thing that we always neglect is the alignment or the wear on the tires. So if you look at your tires, and this has also got to do with your tire pressure, if the middle or the center of your tire is worn, right, that means the tire is too hard, okay?
Mm.
If excessively worn. If the outside of your tires are worn, right, excessively worn, and the inside is fine, you've underinflated your tires. Now, most vehicles have a little sticker either on the driver's side door or on the inside of the petrol flap. Some of them are on the left side of the vehicle. Just open up the doors until you find the sticker, and it will indicate what the tire pressure should be, whether the car is loaded or unloaded. And normally what you do is go with unloaded tire pressure. Remember, when you go on a road trip and you're going to load the vehicle, you go with the loaded tire pressures.
Sure. All right.
For the vehicle.
All right. So we've touched on tires and, of course, wheel alignment, get that taken care of as well. What else is on your list, Warren?
The other thing that's very important is lights. So on your vehicle, your headlights work, your fog lights work as well if you do a lot of night driving. But the globe that gets the most work or the biggest use on your vehicle is your brake light globes. So always check that these globes are working. The globes, when you put your foot onto the brake, they both light up at the rear. If one of them are out, replace them. Now, there's a thing about globes here, okay? You pay for what you get at the end of the day. The very cheap globes are going to last not as long as the more expensive ones or the branded ones. Brands come to mind as Osram, as Bosch.
Mm-hmm.
If you're purchasing those globes, chances are that's what your vehicle left the factory with when it was brand new, and it's going to give you a similar lifespan as the original globe that was in your vehicle. But they are a little bit more pricey. But again, you know, people need to see that you are braking to avoid rear-end collisions. Mm-hmm. So your brakes, your rear brake lights are very important. But also your headlights. So it's a very simple check done on your ignition. Put on your headlights. Check your indicators left and right. If your indicator light is flashing fast on one side of the vehicle, one of the globes is out. You need to get out and check. And then how I have somebody help you with the brake lights. If there's no one available, reverse up to your garage door at night and put your foot down on the brake and see if both sides light up. If one of them lights up and the other doesn't, then have the globe changed on that side.
All right. Okay. Simple, rudimentary, but so very key. Warren, give us a sense, give us the next thing on your hit list. We're going to be taking motoring repair and maintenance questions really, really shortly on 011-883-0702, or you can send your messages to 072-702-1702. What else is important as we set out on those long-distance journeys, Warren?
So fluids in your vehicle, especially cars that have been standing now during all the lockdowns, haven't been used. You know, if your fluids, you need to check. So first things first, you can check your oil in the morning before you start the vehicle. Make sure that the vehicle is on a level ground. There are two indicators on the dipstick. Okay, so what you do is pull the dipstick out, wipe it off, put the dipstick back in and pull out and check the reading. The distance between, on most vehicles, between the two lines is normally half a liter of oil. So the vehicle needs to be between, the oil level needs to be between those two lines. Or it can be at the very top of the first line, but never over that line, because then you are overfilling and you can cause engine damage. The other thing is your coolant level in your vehicle, so your water bottle, okay, you should check that it is on the maximum mark, right? If you need to top it up, please top it up with distilled water, okay? Because that water has no heavy metals in it, all right? If you see that the coolant, there is no coolant in your vehicle and there's only water, and most modern vehicles need coolant in there, right? I suggest taking it down to your mechanic if you are not afraid with how to add coolant or change it, and let them do a coolant flush and replace the coolant for you in your vehicle.
Okay, so fluids, we've looked at lights, we've looked at wheels and tires. What else is on your hit list?
So you need to check your spare wheel, okay? The law in South Africa requires that you have a triangle in your vehicle as well. So in case you've need to pull off onto the left side of the road where the yellow line is, I see so many people that stand in the fast lane on the N1, and they're standing there and waving people off. That lane is extremely dangerous. If you're driving your vehicle and you start noticing that there's a problem, you need to start making your way to the left of the highway where the yellow line is, and that is the safest place for you to be. If you are stuck in the fast lane, it is not a good place to be at all.
Exceedingly dangerous, yeah.
Exceedingly dangerous. So you need to get into the far left lane, yellow line, That is the emergency lane, and you can then change your tire there. Make sure that the tire is sufficiently inflated. Make sure that there's good tread on the tire. Again, there's wear indicators there. Make sure that they are not in line. The tread on the tire is not in line with the wear indicator because that tire needs to be replaced. Right? You've got a triangle in your vehicle. Okay. If you don't have one, you can get them at Macro, your Midas's, any of your vehicle parts resellers will keep this on the shelf. It is a requirement by law for you to have one in your vehicle. What the triangle does is, if you do happen to find yourself on the side of the road, you need to put the triangle out at least 3 to 4 meters away from the vehicle, okay, so that people coming can see the triangle. It's got little reflectors on it, and move out of the way so they don't hit you.
As per your K53 learner's license book, but we do need reminders, don't we? It's very, very key. Nothing is awful as coming upon, you know, a car that's stuck in an inconvenient place and seeing it too late for whatever reason, whether it's a matter of lighting or geography, and that triangle makes all the difference in keeping yourself safe and, of course, other drivers on the road safe as well. Really, really quickly, Warren, when it comes to that spare tire, some people, you know, do keep that biscuit, that thin little thing, temporary tire in their boot. Mm-hmm. I've always preferred just making sure just have a regular tire in there if you can, so you don't have to worry about, here I am on a long journey, now I've got a biscuit, but I can't make it all the way to my destination, and I need to find some shop in a little town off of my route to get a proper tire from, or to repair the tire that's been damaged.
Yes. So the idea behind the biscuit is exactly that. The biscuit has a sticker on it that says maximum 80 k's an hour, although I've never seen anybody actually adhere to that. It's basically designed to get you from where you are to the next town to effect a tire change on the damaged rim. And it is not a permanent, it's not meant to be permanent, the biscuit tire or the spare wheel, the Space Saver spare wheel.
Mm.
Now, back in the day with the manufacturers, most vehicles would come with a full spare wheel, even a fifth rim with a tire on it, so that if you do need to do a change, you know, your vehicle still looks the same. But as far as cost goes and weight saving, you know, weight with a vehicle, the more weight you save in a vehicle, the better your fuel economy is, your fuel consumption. So these vehicles are coming out with these Space Savers. They are not dangerous if you adhere to the rules. There's a yellow sticker on there that explains the speed you should be able to travel at and the rest of it. I do agree there is a bit of an inconvenience. You've got to pull into a town, hope they've got the tire size for your vehicle, and then change it. But again, it's a temporary thing. It's not meant to be permanent. It's there to help you.
Mm.
If you've got space in your vehicle and you can buy a used rim from one of the scrapyards and put a full tire in, that's always first prize. But remember that there is a trade-off. It's a little more weight. You know, it might cost you a little bit in fuel. But again, that's your trade-off if that's what it is that you want.
All right. I have a few questions for you here from on the WhatsApp line. Anything else you want to chuck in there before we answer those questions?
Windscreen wipers, a big one.
Okay, very quickly. Let's. What do we need to do when it comes to the wiper?
Simple check. You can basically switch the wipers on, get water on the windscreen, and the wipers need to clear the water without streaks, without leaving any splotches on the windscreen. Also, you can do a manual check on the blade. So you lift the wiper off the windscreen and run your thumb down the blade. If there's any tears, nicks, or cracks, or the wiper blade is coming apart, you need to replace them. Also, check your front windscreen wipers, and if your vehicle has a rear windscreen wiper, check that as well. The rear ones also just as important as the front ones.
All right, none of this rocket science, but all very, very key to your safety. Warren, we've got a question from Moira who wants to know the grade of oil to put in a 2005 Kia Picanto.
Now, oil is one of those things, you know, each manufacturer has a specific spec. She hasn't said to us what's the engine capacity, but let's take it as a 1.1. You know, and it comes also back down to mileage. your mileage on your vehicle will determine the oil spec that goes into your car, because the older cars or the higher mileage vehicles will require thicker oil. I would say that that vehicle most probably uses a 5W30 oil, fully synthetic oil. It's not a performance car, but fully synthetic oil is always good. And that oil for that vehicle that would be obviously if the vehicle is not really high in mileage. When I'm saying high, I'm talking 150 plus. Then it's going to require a thicker oil. But I would say that the vehicle most probably uses 5W30. If she is unsure, she can pop down to either a local Kia dealer or one of the parts resellers, your Korean Auto Spares, your Midas, your Goldwagen spare shops, and they'd be able to tell her immediately. There's a book that they keep, it's also digital, and that would be able to say what that vehicle takes.
Okay. Here's another one. Why must an exhaust bounce up and down on rubber mountings, which means at some point near the engine it is bending? Why no flexible heat-resistant couplings for an exhaust?
Okay. So your engine has a lot of moving parts in it. Those moving parts vibrate. Okay. And what manufacturers do is they put rubber mountings, okay, to absorb the shock so that you're not sitting in the car and vibrating with the engine. Now, your engine moves under acceleration. Your engine will tilt forward and backwards as you change gears, because the motors it's basically moving under torque. So as you're accelerating, the vehicle, the moving parts in the vehicle are moving faster, create a bigger vibration, and that vibration can come through the vehicle and you'll feel it. That's why if your engine mountings are worn, you'll feel that the car feels very rough and it's vibrating quite a bit. Now, the reason for the rubber engine mounts on your exhaust is, first of all, it's very cheap to make rubber engine mounts. Okay. The second thing is it absorbs the vibration and allows the exhaust system to move with the engine. So as you accelerate your vehicle, your engine tilts slightly. If you had a fixed exhaust with no allowance for movement, it would start cracking. The metal will fatigue and you'd end up with a problem. So it's definitely there for the vibration. Manufacturers use rubber couplings because of cost. It's very cheap. It's very easy to make, and it does the job.
Okay. All right. A very quick one here from Karen, wants to know where to have a Daihatsu Terios serviced in Johannesburg North. Any suggestions for Karen?
Yeah. So there again, it's preference. Do you want to take the vehicle to the original equipment manufacturer, the OEM, and have them do the work? Or do you want to look for a local mechanic in the area that has an RMR approved shop that would be able to affect the repairs or the service on the vehicle? It is up to you as far as that goes. If you are unsure, you can obviously check online. You can use Google to see who the mechanics are in the area or who the original equipment manufacturer is that will service that vehicle for you. Again, boils down to preference. I can't say who exactly to go to, but make sure if you are going to use a non-franchise store to repair your vehicle, make sure that they've obviously got the necessary qualifications or the necessary affiliations to work on your vehicle. RMI approval is a start. You do get guys that are specialists with specific brands, so see if there's a Daihatsu specialist in your area.
All right. Hope that helps, Karen. Warren Tucker, a pleasure as always. Really appreciate your time and your insights this morning. Where can people find you?
You can get me on Twitter at TheCarGuyWarren. You'll find me there. Send all your questions through. I do my best to try and answer them. It's the festive season, so please be safe out there. We will obviously be speaking before Christmas. But yes, if you are planning on hitting the road, please do these checks. And if you've got a caravan, do the same thing as well. Check the brake lights, check the tires.
Fantastic stuff at TheCarGuyWarren on Twitter. Thanks so much for your time.